This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Biancool. On January 10th, HBO's The Sopranos celebrated its 25th anniversary. The TV drama about a New Jersey mob boss was created by David Chase and made a star of James Gandolfini, who played Tony Soprano. It premiered in 1999. And earlier this month, HBO celebrated by replaying one season a day in mini marathons. I couldn't help myself from watching it a lot, and was impressed, though not surprised, by how well it held up. The Sopranos wasn't the first HBO series to break new ground and have a lasting impact. Before Tony Soprano, there was the prison population of Tom Fontana's Oz and the behind-the-scenes comic deconstruction of a talk show in Gary Shandling's The Larry Sanders Show. But The Sopranos was a very special TV series, just like 1999 was a very special year for television. Aaron Sorkin's The West Wing premiered on NBC later that year, and so did Freaks and Geeks. Yet The Sopranos introduced so much to the TV drama and led to even more. Tony Soprano was far from the typical protagonist of a TV drama. He wasn't just flawed. At times, he was utterly amoral and wasn't above murdering people. Audiences stayed with him, though, which led quickly to the introduction of other TV dramas focusing on complicated, sometimes despicable lead characters. What a list, and all with The Sopranos to thank. Vic Mackey in FX's The Shield, Walter White in AMC's Breaking Bad, and almost all the characters in HBO's Deadwood, FX's Justified, and Netflix's House of Cards. The Sopranos also gets credit for taking full advantage of the freedom offered by premium cable. We all enjoyed more top-quality TV as a result, and The Sopranos was the big bang of that particular explosion. But why? In hindsight, the answer seems clear. The murderous mob part of Tony Soprano wasn't relatable to most of us. At least I hope it wasn't. But the rest certainly was. Tony had a mob family at work, but it was still a family, with dynamics and character types recognizable at many, many workplaces. At home, Tony was seldom in control, whether dealing with his wife Carmela, his teenage kids, or his aging mother. And Tony was questioning his place in both families. The first time we met him, in that 1999 premiere episode, he was attending a doctor-ordered therapy session. The therapist, Dr. Melfi, was played by Lorraine Bracco.
Dr. Cusimano, your family physician, is that you collapsed, possibly a panic attack? You were unable to breathe?
They said it was a panic attack. Of course, all the blood work and the neurological work came back negative. And they sent me here.
You don't agree that you had a panic attack? How are you feeling now?
Good. Fine. Back at work.
What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant. Look, it's impossible for me to talk to a psychiatrist.
Any thoughts at all on why you blacked out?
I don't know. Stress, maybe.
About what?
James Gandolfini was so good in that scene. But he's good in every scene. And let's face it, so are his co-stars on both the mob and home sides of Tony's life. My very favorite character from The Sopranos was Livia, Tony's mom. David Chase centered his series on the often hostile dynamic between mother and son and had to pivot and go in a new direction when the actress playing Tony's mom, Nancy Marchand, died. Chase adapted superbly and ended up creating one of the best TV series ever made. But I still wonder sometimes what The Sopranos might have been had Nancy Marchand been around for the entire run. Here's an early scene from the first season, after Livia has gotten in a minor car accident. She's talking about giving away her valuables before she dies, and Tony's trying to persuade her to move out of her old house.
You listen to me now. Before you do any more serious damage to yourself or your grandchildren's inheritance, you're going to stop living alone right now.
I'm not going to that nursing home.
Green Grove is a retirement community, and it's more like a hotel at Captain Teeb's.
Who's he?
Captain owns luxury hotels or something. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is, I talked to Mrs. DiCaprio over there, and she says she's got a corner suite available with a woods view. It's available now, but it's going to go fast.
Of course it's available. Somebody died.
Oh, Ma, you got to stop. You got to stop with this black poison cloud all the time, because I can't take it anymore.
Oh, poor you.
And finally, there's that finale. You'd think 25 years would be enough time to not have to worry about spoiler alerts. But I'll play nice this time, because The Sopranos continues to be discovered by new viewers. It had better be, because most of the college students I teach about TV weren't born when The Sopranos premiered. But that finale, those final moments, they're as perfect an ending as a TV show can provide, right up there with the endings of Newhart, Six Feet Under, Breaking Bad, and yes, Saint Elsewhere. From the first scene to the last, and I mean that literally, from the ducks to the sudden ending, The Sopranos was a TV masterpiece. On Monday's show, we talk with physician Uche Blackstock about her new book titled Legacy. In it, she explores the intersection between racism and healthcare, tracing its origins back to the beginnings of Western medicine and her own experiences as a medical student and doctor. For Terry Gross and Tanya Mosley, I'm David Bianculli.